Our scripture for today is not hard to find. You open your Bible and it's right there. Genesis. And I want to say a few words before I read that. But before I do that, even, let me have prayer. Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts, that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded, since we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hunger for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. Our scripture today is about creation and new beginnings. I think that's appropriate for somebody who's graduating and moving on to another step. But this is more than an interesting story. It's an affirmation, a proclamation. It is a story that is recorded to bring comfort to people who were facing a crisis in their lives. The biblical account of creation was passed down from generation to generation. It started as an oral tradition, and then it was written down much later. We know today that there was a time of chaos in the people, in the lives of the people, in the 6th century BC, at the time when the people of Israel were carried off into captivity into Babylonian. Their nation was taken from them. Their place of worship was in ruins. Their lives were upended. Everything that they had wished for, hoped for, their land of milk and honey, was suddenly removed from them. And these words, we believe, were written down and recorded and used to remind the people of that time that when you have difficulty in your life, these words were designed to bring comfort to those people who were facing a transition, who were facing a difficult moment, who were moving from stage one to stage two, or there was something terrible happening in their lives. So if you're graduating, take comfort in these words. They let us know that you will be able to meet the challenges with God's help and knowing that God will be with us and that God has a way of taking control over the world as it was when he came on the scene and what he did about it. It says in the scriptures for the lesson, let us hear the word of God. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless, void, darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept away over the face of the waters, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome, and it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening. And there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seeds in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs and for the seasons and for days and years, and let the lights in the dome be sky to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth and rule over the day and over the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures and let birds fly upon above the earth across the dome of the sky. And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind within which the waters swarm and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth and every tree with seeds in it, in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given green plants for food. And it was so. God saw that everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, and because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He was from the Midwest. Quiet, unassuming, never opened his mouth much in public. When he spoke so low that you really had to listen to hear him. I will call him Tom. Tom was a seminary student, and during the summer, while he was between sessions of school, he applied for a job in a very exclusive camp somewhere in Michigan, in the beautiful woods of Michigan. He was hired and he went there, and he made friends with another student who was also working there during the summer as a camp counselor. I'll call him Alfred. As the summer progressed, so did their friendship. Each day, when their duties were over in the afternoon, they loved to take walks together, these two guys, in the woods, the beautiful woods where there were flowers. And in the late afternoon, they got to watch the sun go through the canopy of the trees, the leaves over their heads. These two students were kindred spirits. They walked and they talked, and sometimes they just walked and never said a word because no words were really necessary. It was such a beautiful place. It was perfect. In June, there was a free weekend, and Alfred invited Tom to come home with him to his house. And so they made the trip, and they arrived at the little white frame house in Michigan. There were barns and white fences, a pasture. Everything was so clean and in order, as perfect and peaceful of a world as the woods which they had walked in together. After supper the first night, Alfred said to Tom, "I've talked to my parents, and since you and I have become such good, close friends, they have agreed to allow me to show you something which means a great deal to us, something very special." And with that, he led him out back behind the farmhouse to the white barn. And he pushed open the barn door. A couple of bales of hay were removed, revealing another door. And that door was opened. And when that door opened, it revealed a room full from floor to ceiling of posters, books, flags, guns, armament of various kinds. There were pictures of Hitler, Nazi insignia, stacks of hate literature about blacks and Jews. Tom stood there absolutely paralyzed in shock. "All this belongs to our church," said his host, picking up an automatic rifle and opening the chamber. "We are members of the Aryan Nation. All of this is preparing for the revolution when we plan to take back our country from the blacks and the Jews." He didn't use the word blacks. He had another word. Tom later said it was as if the veil separating creation from chaos was drawn back, and the waters below rose up and surged and swept everything away. The dark waters rose until life was choked from every living being. There may just be such a barn near you. In my own experience, my daughter discovered a barn such as that in the community where we lived, where residents appear to be good folks, maybe serving on the city council, maybe holding jobs of importance in the community, but they are filled with hate towards some other group of people. In Genesis, it says, "In the beginning, the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep." This formless void in the Hebrew is called Tuhu Wabihu. Tuhu Wabihu, which is the title of my sermon. It means chaos and confusion. Something that is nothing. It is darkness, forbidding. Tuhu Wabihu. God called creation good. He created his creation out of confusion again and again. And we have experienced this Tuhu will be who as a nation in 1929, the stock market crash. Families suffered during the Depression. There was Pearl Harbor in the Philippines, fighting in Europe in the Pacific, the war in Korea, the U-2 incident, the Bay of Pigs invasion, the Cuban Missile Crisis, the killing of the President of the United States. And then there was the death of Martin Luther King Jr., the Vietnam War, Watergate, the energy crisis, Three Mile Island, the Iranian hostages, the bombing and killing of the Marines in Lebanon, and of course the events of 9/11 and COVID and the war with Ukraine, with Russia, and most recently the war in Iran, with Iran. And perhaps you have experienced some of this tohu wabihu in your own life journey, when a loved one dies, when there's other tragedies, maybe a sick child, a child in trouble, death, divorce, loss of a job. We all know about this tohu wabihu. It has come to our homes. We're all aware that creation is always in danger of changing, of sinking into chaos. In Peter Beachley's book, Jaws, I think perhaps a lot of you have seen that movie, we are reminded that something mindless and ruthless can come out of the beautiful water that we're enjoying swimming in and take us away into the dark depths and threaten our lives. There's a book called The Ship Killer, which tells the story of a hero and his bride. They've just gotten married, and they're on a little small sailboat, and they're sailing in the ocean. It's at night, and they're enjoying themselves in a large oil ship. Comes along and doesn't see them and runs over their boat and splinters it completely. The bride is killed. The ship that hit them never slows down, never changed course. It never saw them. But their life, the life of this person, this groom, is upended. Tohu wabihu threatens each time a child is born with a cleft palate or a deformed arm, each time a terrorist bomb goes off, a hurricane or tornado wanders aimlessly over our peaceful countryside. In the world today, a simple mistake, a malfunction of a system, some progression of events can cause us to lose control, and we find ourselves in this state of chaos. But God came and spoke to the tohu wabihu times following creation. He turned the chaos into dry land, plants and fruits and seasons and swarms of living creatures. He gave the song to the bird and water for the fish of the sea, the trees and all the beautiful things. God brought order. God desires to bring order and seasons. And then God gave us the Sabbath day, a day in which we might have time to rest and tell this story from how, from nothing, how God overcame the trials and the tribulations, the tohu wabihu. God brought forth life. But as we know, God placed mankind, man and woman, in this beautiful garden to tend to this creation. And humankind eventually became rebellious, so degraded to cause God to send a flood upon the face of the earth. Chaos was created by humankind. And then there was another flood. Noah and his family eventually began a new order. But the Tohu Wabohu was not destroyed. It was only pushed back. That godless, formless void always threatens to come back to the surface behind some well-ordered door in a farmhouse. We see that things are not always the way they look like. Tohu Wabohu seeks to help us to rise above what is within us, but we have to do our part to keep things in order, to keep control, to push back. We can do our part by not teaching hate in our homes. You can talk discriminating talk in your home, and your children will hear it, and they may take it into practice. You need to be aware that you're educating your children by what you say and what you do in your home. And that child may be the one who will act on your words, pro or con. We've got to keep Tohu Wabohu under control in our own lives. We allow it to rise when we cheat, when we dislike people, when we resent people, when we just cannot leave it alone and get over it, and when we are determined to have the last word, to overcome, to conquer something. That is this chaos that is rising within us, and it will push the good aside, and it will destroy you. This is a word of warning, not only to our graduates, but to all of us in the decisions that we make about where we're going to go forward with our future. It's also a word of assurance, which was, I think, what these words from this creation story were intended to bring to us, to assure us that God is in charge and that He intends to be with us. He intended for things to be good, and He will walk with us. If you are experiencing difficulty in your life, this word of proclamation text offers assurance that God never stops creating new things, never stops wrestling with the Tohu Wabohu. He keeps creating order out of chaos, and we are part of God's creation. And it's our responsibility as we go forward to know that He is with us and He will not abandon us. If you perhaps have experienced this in your own life, you found ways to overcome tragedy and the challenges and the pain and the suffering. How many times have you been hurt? And later, with God's help, you've discovered peace. Tohu Wabohu is no match for God. God will show you through. I end with these words from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen.